So we wanted to design a system that had a real feedback loop that and many, many, many avenues of communication. And so we want at least one third of the boards filled with staff members. Is that all I had to say? Yeah.
Okay, we have David, Ray, and then Jabari.
Dave Furtick here. I agree. In the Southern California signal area, that there was a sense there as well of polarity relative to the staff and the programmers and the, on one hand, largely, and the listeners, particularly the activist listeners who helped rescue Pacifica on the other. And we learned in the General Manager Search Committee that bringing everybody together to work together eliminated those polarities, or at least certainly reduced them dramatically. And thus, I do regret the lack of participation, but I do understand the lack of participation in many instances of staff and programmers in the bylaws group, so we encouraged it, and there was some. But that's a dynamic we have to work on, and I think that, it's only worked on by getting people out there, and the only way to do that, I think, maybe, is to have the meetings in the station where possible and get in the conversation on the air more. But I must say, you know, my report reflected the group process in Southern California as best I discerned it. I'm sure I'll be corrected as to my misperceptions soon. But in any event, I personally feel that the bylaws indeed must be simple. The operational rules have to be separate. It must be an elegantly simple document that allows growth and development. And I really do feel strongly personally that the listeners have a huge sense of being outside, and now that they're able to have influence on what's going on, they want to make the inside work properly, and there's a lot of real specific stuff we should take advantage of in the context of operational rules. But I think that one of the issues that arises, I mean, we do need local governance, I think, of the stations. I think, as Carol said, I don't know what's going on in other signal areas, and I think we need to have, not hands-on, but I think local responsibility. On the other hand, of course, the National Board has to maintain the charter and oversee the mission, develop national, international efforts and programming, like Rob has said so many times, to do the other things that we're supposed to do. But I feel that, personally, too, that the station governing boards should be the source of the National Board members. And the reason that is because people should not be on a board unless they're already doing the work. They should not be on a board just because we think they'll do good. They should be on the board because they got a track record, a proven record, a committed demonstration of competency and insight and knowledge of the workings of the thing. And that comes from being on the local governing board. And to a degree, the local advisory board's been a good laboratory for that. But I think that that's an important consideration. And frankly, it has not been, I think, the most popular view amongst those attending the meetings in Southern California. But then I never was very popular. Thank you.
Okay, Ray.
I like to echo Jabari's concern with the timeline. I can say that in New York we have a, I could say maybe without exaggerating, that we have a consensus that we'd rather do it right than rather than doing it fast. And that although we shouldn't do it lightly, that it should not be excluded, that we consider extending the process period. In terms of the substance of the work we've done, the bullet points are clearly not the final word. I can tell you that we've discussed it in New York, and there are many people who feel that there are important aspects of the discussion that were excluded, that it's oversimplistic, and that that we have at least 10 or 12 pages of suggestions relating to, you know, specific areas of the document. In terms of outreach, I really would urge this board, every single local advisory board, the local managers, program council, program directors, to really extend this process and allow discussion of this to take place on the air. Now, in terms of the labs, in New York City, the participation has been uneven. The lab had actually initiated that process through something called an exploratory committee. And two members of the lab, particularly Lee Cronick and Marion Bornstein, who were co-chairs of that committee, have been working with this committee, the board committee, with diligence. Being a lab member myself, at the last meeting of the lab, I've urged and received commitment from Miguel Maldonado that the lab will participate. It is clear that we need an organic connection to this development by the lab, instead of just having a document that is presented to them from the outside, that they be part of formulating it and express their opinion, their reservation, and so on. And I think we should do that across the board.
This is Jabari Zakia. Some things have been said that we started from just starting with the old bylaws at the suggestion of Ambrose Lane. And one of the things that is an overriding thought in our process is that the national structure has to be strong. The national structure has to be strong. It has to be clear. And one of the things that we put a good deal of time into making clear is the difference between duties and authorities, you know, the powers and authorities of the board and the duties of the board. In other words, the board has certain powers and authorities that it can do, but then there are certain things that we articulated that it must do, such as adopt budgets, so on down the line, so that people know exactly what the board is supposed to do, that the board members know exactly what to do. In fact, that we adopt that same type of identification of authority and duties at each level within the governance structures. What is expected of executive director and executive staff? What is expected of LEBs and so on down the road? Also, in this question of governance versus advisory, one of the things that we kind of came to a consensus on or some type of agreement was that one of the things in the area of radio, when we talk about Pacifica in the area of radio, one of the things I think people really want, though they may not articulate it as precisely, is I get the sense that people really want to be most involved with making decisions concerning programming. Okay. Do you get that sense too? Okay. Okay. But what they talk about is, I want to hire and fire the general manager. I want to kick the program director out. And I want to, you know, if this guy says this on the show, I'm going to boot him. Okay. But what we know is that we recognize that through this hierarchy of duties and authorities, that you can structure that but formalize a process where listener input at the programming level can be raised to a higher level of articulation and significance without getting into allowing the so-called population or community to get into actual governance of the station. Okay, so there's a distinction there between formalizing a structure which would create some formalization of the power and the authority and the influence, was probably even the better word, the influence and mandate some kind of feedback so that there is this formalization between what is proposed to go on the air versus what the community accepts should be on the air.
Okay. David is saying, do you just have a word to say? Okay, then.
Well, it's a few words, but very few.
Very, very short then. Okay, David.
Yeah, I just want to say something something that I used to say at every lab meeting in Los Angeles for a couple of years. We are not the owners of Pacifica. You, the listeners, are not the owners of Pacifica. The subscribers are not the owners of Pacifica. The people that live within the signal areas, the people that live within the regions which we have the signal going to, are the owners of Pacifica. We are trustees. We take care of it for others, and we need to remember that we are taking care of this for others and for the future. And I think that sometimes the sense of ownership and proprietorship becomes, I think, overbearing in terms of our personal sense of influence and desire what needs to happen here.
Okay.
This is KPFA or KPFB Berkeley or KFCF Fresno, KPFK Los Angeles, WBAI in New York, Radio for Houston.org, WBIX.org, KPFX.org, and the Independent Media Center in Washington, D.C.
2 to 5 sentences. So they're very much condensed. Also, they are composed, I requested from all of the subcommittee chairs that they review and add to them, and Leslie and Rob were kind enough to do that. Thank you. But no one else did, so if you're left out, you know who to talk to. I just want to say that because it's important. The other thing is I think the national-local balance is really crucial. It is the crux of the matter. I don't think this has been looked at since 1984 when the bylaws were revised to say that the national board would be elected by the local boards. But the practice before that and through the 70s was that the national board was composed of local board members. And I've talked to people who were around in the 70s and 80s and actually served on these boards. And I can't find one who doesn't think that we had better station governance when the local boards were actually functioning with a great deal of power of oversight. The stations and the health of the stations declined seriously as the governance became more remote and authority became more centralized. So I think we need to look at how to make certain that our stations aren't drifting and languishing and not getting what they need in order to be vibrant stations. That's very important, but that doesn't mean that we don't need a strong national board and a strong national organization that is working on national projects. And I didn't mean to imply that at all. I think, though, that perhaps the best way to do that, there are other ways to do it, but the best way to do that is to bring people out of the local boards who have worked hard and know something, have learned something from doing that, and bring them into the national mix. And I also really liked, actually the idea came from Max Blanchet, wherever he is. Max worked a lot with our bylaw
signal area
of the interlocking committee structure, where we're this board right now, we all know we can only do so much, and creating a committee structure where we've got more people working on, I mean, the work of this diversity committee, for instance, was so profound, and it's not something that we can do on our own. We need this kind of thing. So I was very impressed with Max's idea of interlocking committees that have local and national boards on them for everything to do with the foundation, everything. Every national committee, standing or ad hoc, would have national and local board members on it. So I think that would really strengthen our national programming, our national vision, and our ability to utilize the resources of the stations to build that.
Okay, George.
I think we should hear from the listeners soon.
Yeah, I was going to take George, and then I was going to open it up.
I'm George Barnstone, Houston, Texas. In regard to the question of the labs electing the stations contingent to the PNB, my governance committee, our governance committee, Houston's governance committee, pardon me, was split on that one issue. I'm sorry. On the question of whether labs will elect the members to the PNB, the Houston Governance Committee was split on that one issue.
Okay, great. There are about a dozen or so people who have signed up of you all to make some comments. What I'd like to do is try and get at least half of those comments now, have some more discussion, and then get the other comments too. Let me just say before I start calling people that it seems to me there are four major issues, is probably more, but four that really do need our attention. Who is a member? right, who is a member of this entity we call Pacifica, what powers do the members have? What authority do they have? What powers do they have?
Right.
What is
right.
the role of the local right. boards? And what is the role of the national board? And I guess a fifth but related thing is, what's the relationship between the local boards and the national board? And then if we can, I'm not saying we're going to hammer all that up today, but if we get agreement on those basics, then we're well on the road. Yeah.
I just wanted you to repeat them.
Okay. The first question is, who is a member?
Right.
Who is a member? Second is, what powers do members have?
Really?
Third is, what is the role of the local boards? The fourth is, what is the role of the national board? And then finally, what's the relationship between the local and the national boards? Okay, so... Excuse me? What about staff to listeners? So, Nori, I wasn't asking the detailed questions. I'm asking who's a member, right? Member could be staff and listeners. I assume will be staff and listeners, right? Right, I'm asking what the big questions... these are what I identified. When people are called on, they can add other things. This is what I identified as, the big picture questions. Okay, so we have Rob Dickey, Randy Zimmerman, John Sheridan, and then Roger Manning. And then we'll get some more. 2 minutes. Okay, again, folks, I just want to warn people right now. It's 12:15. I thought we could go on this. We talked about 2 hours of this whole section. That would take us to one. There's not going to be time to get to everybody on this list. I just want to say that right up front now. Unless people speak less than 2 minutes. Okay, Robert Dickey. Robert Dickey's not here. Randy Zimmerman. Randy Zimmerman, then John Sheridan, then Roger Manning. People should get over there so you can, you know, we can move it quickly. Randy. Go, Randy. Go.
My name is Randy Zimmerman. I'm from WMNF in Tampa, Florida, and also headlines editor for Free Speech Radio News. Thank you. I've been to every IPNB meeting since this new board was formulated, and I congratulate you all for what appears to be finally achieving a true kumbaya weekend. I'm from a large group of the so-called Pacifica family that's been hands down disenfranchised. That would be the affiliates. In your bylaws, you have the opportunity to no longer talk about your concerns for the affiliates, but do something. Affiliates haven't even reached the status of the District of Columbia. We don't vote or have representation. We haven't been asked to the table, and except as an afterthought, which I think today has proven. You ask us to pay 1% to 2% of our very tiny budgets for what boils down to the love of Pacifica. Because there isn't a single thing we get from you that we can't get elsewhere and for less money.
Love.
You said 2 meetings ago that we would be considered in the future. You said last meeting that a special subcommittee would be formed. Now, I recognize and respect all of the very hard work that this board has done. But again, has any of that talk about affiliates resulted in substantive action? Or how about, again, representation in the governance of the supposedly democratic media organization? That's why, in case you were wondering, there is no significant affiliate representation at this meeting. I'm sure Pacifica will rise from the ashes. I've met too many hard-working listeners, the heart of Pacifica, who've proven they're capable of nothing less than miracles. But when you rise, I'm concerned you may be alone. Yesterday, the National Board staff said there were 51 affiliates. I'm glad the chair did a fine bit of fact-checking and reported that number to be closer to 34. At WMNF, we're trying to figure out why we should pay $11,000 a year to watch the network twist and turn for another 20 years. That's how long we've been with you. Three. A number of years ago, a very rich man bought 5 television stations called the Metro Media Group, and they're now a network called Fox. Unless this organization makes a real effort at a democratic media structure and process, they will always outnumber us. Thank you for your time.
Hi, my name is John Sheridan. I'm from the KPFA Signal area, and I just wanted to represent some information that I received from a listener in New York named Steve Salcho on behalf of a number of proposals to encourage and, in fact, ask some mandate for coverage of the bylaws on the air. There are three There are three proposals contained in here. One is by Bernie Eisenberg, another by Paul Surovell, and another by Roger Manning, each of which is requesting a weekly show. And
yes,
even though they're directed to...
For 1 second. We are... we're saving time at the end of this section to talk specifically about those.
Okay, well, but I'm not going to be able to speak again. So
okay,
I just wanted to... This is a petition concerning these requests. And so it's, as you know, petitions tend to be tips of the iceberg. There is a fourth petition, which is specifically requests Amy Goodman to please use the one national program that Pacifica has to bring the discussion of the bylaws and governance in essence become internally active in the Pacifica struggle on behalf of governance issues at this critical and historical time. And there's I can pass this this petition around, and I will gladly present it to Amy, and the other petition to Carol Spooner as the chair of the Bylaws Election Committee. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Okay, we'll take Roger, then I see Rob Dickey showed up, so we'll take Roger, then Rob Dickey, then Cliff, and then Bernie.
Hi, I'm Roger Manning from the WBAI.net website in New York City, and just want to bring attention to a bylaws proposal that's been presented and passed around, and that's the proposal for the establishment of general meetings quarterly in all the listening areas. It's something that Washington, D.C. is already doing. And as many of these items, as you point out, really belong in operation manuals and such, this is actually would come under the functions of a local governing board. They would be responsible for holding these meetings. So it is a bylaw issue, and it would facilitate a lot of things that people are saying they plan to do, so it's not really adding work or anything like that, and it would, you know, facilitate increased involvement and communications and better relations between the greater Pacifica community and the staff and the boards and so on. And I have some copies here today, and if you're on the web, you can go to WBAI.net and see this proposal for a general meeting bylaw, and any meeting proposals or governance proposals that people are handing in, they send to webmaster at WBAI.net. I will post them. They're all collected nice and conveniently. And one last thing in terms of the on-air issue, you know, putting the programming on air to cover governance and bylaws, it's not an issue of what's wanted, but it's what is needed, at least in the short term.
Thank you. Can we go back to Rob? Oh, you're changing the order? Okay. Cliff.
Hi, I'm Cliff Barney. I'm a KPFA listener, long time. I'm also a journalist. I've written about Pacifica, and I help with the Save Pacifica site. The most recent article I wrote about Pacifica is in the North Bay Progressive, and the headline says, Pacifica snubs own process of reform. And I really think that that's true. I don't understand why it's true. I think that this is one of the biggest stories as a journalist I've ever seen, that this whole network is trying to reinvent itself in public, and it's not covering its own story. It's a media organization, and it's not even covering its own story. I don't get it. You know, I do understand. As a longtime journalist, I understand it's very hard for a media organization to cover its own self. There are too many internal issues. People get there. By the time anything gets on the air, it's been vetted by so many people that it's bland. But this is Pacifica. We should be different. I'm concerned with not only with airtime for people to explain what these various bylaws suggestions are, but that the news departments cover it, and that for God's sake, Free Speech Radio News covers it. Where's Free Speech Radio News? They're not sending people to the meetings, and I don't hear anything on the news shows. I go myself. That's how I find out. But not everybody can do that. So I'm going to give my 30 seconds back. That's my message. I really, really urge... Oh, I'm going to take a few seconds back. I think the one reason is that there's no process for getting anything on the air that anybody from the outside understands. And you folks have got to get into that mess and make sure that it's clear. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. All right, Bernie.
Yeah. Thank you. This is Bernie Eisenberg. The first thing I want to do is take a couple of seconds to object strongly to the fact that my microphone will be turned off after 2 minutes when those reports were given by people and then their personal opinions were... I'm sorry, I'm going to state this, Mr. Lee. This is my opinion that it's not correct to shut down the community after 2 minutes. Now, I appreciate Dave Fertig's report. He really did a good job, but he was somewhat incomplete, and I'd like to fill in some of the blanks here. There were three basic proposals for democracy, but he didn't say which one was most preferred by Los Angeles. The one most preferred by Los Angeles was the one that had the Signal Area electors electing members to the national board. In other words, we're not having nationwide elections to the national board. We're having each individual Signal Area elect their two reps or three reps, whatever the bylaws comes up with, to the national board. I want to say something about no appointed seats to any board, because that carried very strongly in Los Angeles. And what that relates to is it precludes all constituency models, because some person or group would have to define, in other words, appoint the relevant constituencies, and then appoint the representative groups from among the many constituencies who might vie for the honor of representing their constituency. As has been stated by others in the movement, this is tokenism at best and cronyism at worst. The constituency model, whether it is Dittman's L.A. model or Rosenberg's New York model, are both forms of an appointment system. Now, Professor Dittman, who, by the way, does not attend subcommittee meetings, uses the flowery language of, quote, ecological diversity, unquote, to prettify his appointment paradigm. Next point. The national, our subcommittee does want station programming councils, but what David left out was that they should be elected. I just have one word.
Okay, give him one more.
Actually, I'll skip that. Let me just say that the proposal that I presented yesterday, and which has been mentioned earlier about airtime, is a very specific proposal. And I want to emphasize that you have to mandate that the executive director tell the general managers what to do, because otherwise they will bury these programs someplace and they won't repeat them and people won't hear them unless they're mandated to be on at certain times. And furthermore, I think it would be wise to not only give gold stars to lab members who listen to these programs, but mandate that they listen to these programs, because they don't know what's going on, and they have to vote on these.
Thank you, buddy. Okay, let's take two more people now. Return to the board for some more discussion, and then we'll hear from some other people. So the two more on the list right now are Roger Zimmerman and Mansoor.
I'm Roger Zimmerman.
Oh, we'll take Rob also, who missed his turn before.
I'm Roger Zimmerman from KPFK in Los Angeles.
And
you have to get right on the mic.
I'm Roger Zimmerman from KPFK in Los Angeles. In addition to all of the other issues that have already been identified, I would like to suggest that the process for review and the process for change of the bylaws be separated. And specifically for the process of change of the bylaws, that any and all changes before they are adopted require notification of the listeners both on air and in writing, and that this requirement is not optional.
Thank you. So let's take Rob, who was at the very beginning of the list.
I have something to read that's about a page. It'll take 3.5 minutes, and
no,
someone else.
2 minutes.
Someone
two
else
minutes.
Has ceded their time
you have
to me.
2 minutes, Rob. Give a minute. Let's go. You're wasting
okay.
time.
There are many people who believe we need a radical, transformative democracy at Pacifica, which allows for the voice of the voiceless to be heard. There is a burden on us to fight for democratic control of our institutions and workplaces. It is our opinion that we must use the Signal to build a vibrant, participatory democracy at Pacifica. We have 5 radio stations at our disposal to do this. How many have been murdered by repressive governments for this tool? This particular period in Pacifica's history is unique. We have just emerged from an upheaval that has ostensibly reasserted the primacy of the Pacifica mission. The California State Supreme Court has mandated a timeline with deadlines. This moment is the result of a churning that has made elastic the power relations within Pacifica. The longer we wait, the greater the consolidation of power, the greater the ossification of the system. This ossification will inevitably result in the system rejecting community initiatives that by definition threaten entrenched interests. Therefore, we must use the most powerful tool we possess, the microphones, for the reformation of Pacifica while the opening provided by the current circumstance exists. The constellation of forces at Pacifica are aligned in an absolutely rare way. The network must refuse the enclosure of the commons. It must not squander its mandate to reclaim the airwaves as a public trust. Radio results from a desire to extend the throw of the human voice. We can use the technology to promote a dialogue on social interactions. One form this takes at Pacifica is the initial and ongoing democratization of the network. Through this investigation, we'll explore the essential relationships in theory and practice that Pacifica purports to uphold. The signal must be made available in a stable and systematic way to do the wakeful social dream work of self-governance. The power of radical democracy can only be developed through the deep dialogue of those affected by oppression. This must entail a profound inquiry into the relationship of oppression and empowerment and a recognition that self-governance is the cauldron in which to seek a resolution. It is the stumbling to make a language to name this.
Fine. The time's up. Can you wrap it up? Can you wrap it up?
Yeah, I have two paragraphs.
Sorry, Rob, are you done? Or can you just wrap it up in another sentence or two? Not another paragraph or two. Can you do another sentence or two to wrap it up?
Given the urgency to achieve this and the severe consequences of a mediocre outcome, we therefore demand that the National Board, the Executive Director, the General Managers, and Program Directors immediately mandate a minimum of 8% of the network's airtime for the process of self-governance, 3% devoted to a weekly national simulcast, and the balance for local programming, and that this airtime be driven from the bottom up by anti-racist working groups, bylaws, subcommittees, listener groups, and elections committees. The community must strive to make this programming...
Okay, Rob, come on, really.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, and there was one other person who was going to talk in this section, Mansoor. Mansoor? Yeah, you're on the list. I called your name before. And then we're going to go back to the board, and then we'll come back for more comments. Yes, come on.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you said the next one. Anyway, my points are I would like to have the listenerships.
I don't think... Okay, there you go.
We would like to have the listenerships be the owners of the Pacifica, as everybody remembers that the network was not taken down or almost destroyed by the listeners. It was the board that was destroying it. So
yeah.
Let's work on getting the listeners to be the owners of the Pacifica network. Number one. Two, we would like to have a program councils to be part of the bylaws of the Pacifica network. Three, we would like to have more programs on the air, and I'll leave the rest of it up.
Okay, thank you. Okay, now we're coming back to the board, Janice.
I have a couple of questions. With the requests for more airtime, how many people in this auditorium have some ideas about how to fill this airtime? Would you raise your hand?
Okay.
How many people inside this auditorium would like to be part of those programs to air?
Everybody would do it.
It looks like we got a lot of people here who really want to be producers. I'm not a producer. You won't let me be a producer.
Okay, folks. Okay, we don't really have to get into that right now. Okay. Okay, folks.
Say what you want. It's not a sin if you want to be a producer. Say, I want to be a producer.
Okay, folks.
Madam Chair, point of information.
Okay.
Point of information.
Can we just have a little order here, James?
Yeah, where are we going?
Huh? Well, I had tried to suggest that there were several critical core, if you will, issues that we need to get some handle on, or get some handle on how we're going to get a handle on them. Not to the exclusion of other issues, but as a starting point, that if we answer these questions, then we have a foundation to build out of. Who is a member? for instance, who is a member. What I'm concerned about in terms of what we're going to do today is that it's now 25-1. We do have to, and we do need to end this by one. There are at least two major issues, above and beyond the substance issues, the content issues of the bylaws themselves. There are at least two major issues that have come up today that we, and come up earlier too, that we need to get a handle on. One is the notion of extending the time frame for this whole process.
Yep.
And we need to decide either that we are or we aren't, or we're not going to decide yet, but we need to figure that out. The other is the airtime issue. And what recommendations or policy guidelines or whatever we want to set as a board for the airtime, giving some direction to the stations around the airtime for this issue, for discussion. So I think those are the two kind of priority things we need to look at. Pete and then Jabari.
Pete Bramson from Berkeley. Is there, and this is a question to, I guess, the board, in relation to how this could be organized and managed as a project, is in the Houston meeting, can we have a couple of days preceding the board meeting devoted to either a facilitated or organized meeting devoted to bylaws? So as an example, we usually meet Friday, Saturday, Sunday. That Wednesday and Thursday would be devoted to a series of groups, so that by the time Friday runs up, those groups will have a focused presentation about what those five or six individual groups have for bylaws.
Pete, just to clarify, are you talking about a board meeting or an open meeting that everybody's invited to? Who would be there?
Yes. What I mean by that is, if certain board members can attend, they can attend. We know that the community can come, and that the community could, I'm making it up as I go along, the community appoint two or three people from their respective signal areas, and they show up, and we do some kind of facilitated meeting, so that by the time we run into the Houston meetings on a Friday, Saturday, Sunday, we will have had a consensus so that we can move forward.
Okay, let's just, put that on the agenda as a possibility. Jabari?
This is Jabari Zakia. I think that some of the issues we may try to come to some consensus is on the frequency of a given show or a given series of shows, and on the time period. I think if we're going to have shows on governance, probably within the 6 to 10 p.m. time period, to allow people to come home from work to listen to such shows, and then the frequency of such shows. I would actually think maybe once a week, maybe too much, maybe every 2 weeks. That's just my off-the-head assessment. But I think maybe we should try at least to come to a frequency determination between now and this process, and a certain core time that these programs should be run to allow the largest potential listenership to be able to be in a place where they can actually listen into detail, because this is detailed stuff. You don't want people sitting at work trying to sneak a listen while they're doing something else, I would think.
Okay, George.
It's George Barnstrom, Houston. I fully agree with my good friend Pete Bramson about meeting a couple days beforehand in the Houston meeting to hammer out these bylaws, because work is done when we work together closely, and when you can touch and feel someone on our board, we can really work it out. I think we could finish these bylaws up if we do meet for a couple days together, and we have an obligation to do that. I mean, in the meantime, we'll work on issues. We'll work on the issues in the bylaws, but we've got to meet beforehand, all of us.
Okay.
I mean, look at this. We're almost at the year's end. Not the year's end, but we're 6 months into this, and we're not finished yet, guys.
Can you speak into the microphone, please?
No, I'm sorry. We really need to meet together. I'm trying to get across to y'all, like we did in our retreat, and finish these things up.
Can I, if I could just say something on this, too. I have no problem with us meeting, you know, beforehand, but I'm concerned that we would not use the time between now and then to our full advantage. I've been a little concerned in the last month or two, especially, about what I see as a kind of scattered process. I think it's been fine and good, as Carol says, you know, through this process a lot of new ideas have come up and people have been engaged and, you know, it's been a give and take and et cetera, sharing of ideas and new ideas. But I think the time has come to shift gears. And we need to get us all more on the same page, not forcing agreement, but focusing on the issues. And I think it's time, actually, in this process, to ask somebody or a team of people to do a draft of the bylaws that would then be circulated back out for more discussion, more debate, more input, et cetera, back and forth. I think that will help us all, not just the board, but the local groups, too.
Rob has done that.
I'm just unclear. I thought that's what Carol's committee is taking the next step to perform.
Exactly.
Well, that, I don't know. I mean, that's what we're trying to figure out with the Carol.
We started off with the objective of coming up with a draft within a certain period of time. Then we extended the time, and then we said we weren't going to come up with a draft. We were going to come up with some bullet points and then decide what to do next. That's what we should decide right now, is what to do next. And I'm sorry, Rob, you may have missed the email about that, but we did have that conversation on the phone, too. So we do need to decide what to do next. And I tend to agree with Leslie that, I mean, for instance, Rob has diligently and his group has diligently worked and actually produced a draft. And it's excellent. I've got many criticisms of it, but it focuses those questions. And it was great work. It really helps to move us forward. I'd like to see that. The other thing that I am very concerned about, folks, is that there are sections of our bylaws which are the two most really central things about how we're going to be structured. They are how the national board is elected and how the local boards are elected and how many members there are on both of them that must be approved by 3 of the 5 local boards, which means we have to find out where 3 or all 5 of the local boards are on these issues. And we have to find out if there's any area of agreement or disagreement and how to negotiate the disagreement or how to, you know, what to do to bring, because they have that right. It's not, you know, they have that right. People have to, we just have to figure that out. And I would like us, I want to speak for not extending the process. I think we've gotten so many wonderful ideas out here on the table. And that for 3 months, people have come up with ideas and nod over them. And I've read much of it. And it's time to reduce some of that to the next level, which is to write a draft and send it out for review and comment. And but I don't want to extend the interim board term. Our term expires the end of March. I don't want to be here in April. I'm serious, folks. Interimness is not good for this foundation. Interimness is not good for this foundation. For our rebuilding, for our going forward, for our becoming the great Pacifica we want to be, interim boards are the pits, and we need an elected board that has come through this process in place soon, next March 31st, and if we extend it, we won't get it. And all this stuff about you don't hear from us, this isn't a democratic organization. When are we going to have a democratic organization? We will have a democratic organization when we have bylaws passed that create the rules for doing it. Right now, we've got no way to poll our listeners. There are 29,000 subscribers to KPFA, and we can poll them with a ballot.
Okay, Jabari, and then Bird, and then James.
I would say that we need to just have the committee do a bylaws revision and submit it. In our committee, we started with the set of original bylaws, and we were able to go through the first six sections, which are mainly perfunctory types of things. And we can certainly get those perfunctory types of things out there, get the language clear, and identify these two, three, or four, quote, hard sections or hard issues. But we can clean up probably 80% of what will be a part of the bylaws just by starting from where we started from in our process and just get those things solidified and then go through this revision process for the other parts.
Okay,
Bertram Lee, three things. Number one, are we finally as a board going to go beyond the rhetoric and really decide and do something? I think I never thought it would happen, but I agree totally with Carol that we need to move forward and not extend this at all. Okay, do not extend it, but that we whatever the process or time or whatever is needed for us to get done between now and March, we get that done so that we will have concluded by that. But again, I want to warn us as a board, we are great at making, you know, suggestions, but poor at performing. And are we finally going to perform? That's my question.
Thank you. James?
James Ferguson. A couple of things. This relates to what Zakari was saying earlier about, I'm sorry.
Jabari?
I've been killing Jabari's name for the last year. Hopefully he'll forgive me. What Jabari said about the timing of the on-air presentation of the bylaws development. I would suggest that we survey this weekend's what are we doing?
Public comment?
Yeah, no, this the taping to find out how people are responding and if in fact it makes sense for us to devote substantial amounts of time on air for this issue. And also the second thing is that I really believe that staff, and if I wasn't clear about what I just said, certainly I could write it down and submit it, but that staff be injected somehow into this process. I'm real concerned that has not been lifted enough. But going back to the survey, if they survey the on-air, this whole process, this weekend's, whatever it is.
Board meeting.
That's it. You know, I'm burnt out at this point, so beware. If we can survey it to find out how our listeners are responding, I suspect we get a better feel as to whether we need to devote a lot of time to putting this on air throughout the week. And because we do have a very vocal minority that's represented, that has been represented throughout this process, and I'm not sure that should govern the amount of time that we're devoting to air.
Leslie?
Yeah.
I just want to clarify that I don't think anybody asked that we postpone the process. I personally stated that many of the people we've been discussing this process in New York have felt under tremendous pressure. I felt a distortion of that pressure, the inability to really get to the bottom of those issues properly. And I've decided that if we had to choose ultimately between postponing it and have a product that we're not happy with, that I would rather choose the former. Now, in terms of on-air discussion, I support that completely. I suggested earlier, and maybe the other areas can consider it, that in New York, the program director has agreed to initiate at one or more meetings with hopefully the majority of the producers. We can have frank discussions of the about the apprehensions, the issues involved, the benefits that we have to face, and really initiate a concerted, coordinated approach to this so that we don't have five shows 1 week and none the next week where we touch at you know key point of the day on all the different issues that we're discussing tonight. Who can be elected, who can run, and prerogative of local and national boards and so on.
Carol and then Jabari.
I think that programming about governance might be interesting to a large segment of our audience and not interesting at all to a large segment of our audience. I think almost every program on KPFA you could describe that way. I certainly don't listen to everything on KPFA. Some of it I think is quite boring. Nonetheless, those programs have strong supporters and many listeners. So I think the issue of our governance, we need to do that on the air, talk about it on the air for those who want to know what we're doing. And I don't think it's very much to ask for this period of time that just simply be a requirement. We are going through an extraordinary transformation. Not everybody can come to meetings. That's life. But they would listen to the program and be informed and be better voters if we do it for them and for ourselves. And I also think that Dan has told the lab chairs that he would make it clear to the station managers that this was necessary. I don't know whether he did make it clear to the station managers that it was necessary, but it certainly has not happened. And I think for the last 3 months, since the last meeting, we've talked about the necessity, let's urge, let's encourage, let's support, let's do all of this, let's do this with a velvet glove, but get it on the air. And it hasn't happened except at WBAI. And so I think this board actually does need to exercise our authority over the air under the FCC. That's who we are. We control the air. And adopt a resolution that says there must be at least, I'm not going to endorse any of these resolutions. Let's pick a minimum amount and get it on the air. Mm-hmm. 2 hours a week.
Okay, so there's a proposal that we mandate at least 2 hours a week. Is there a second to that?
I'll second that.
Okay, Teresa, second. Jabari?
This is Jabari Zakina. The thing I just wanted to say, irrespective of this short-term thing, I think it's absolutely imperative that when there is a final draft bylaws that will be ultimately voted on by the LABs, I think it's imperative that we have a full national day of programming, whether it be 3 hours or 4 hours, to read the whole document. I'm serious. I would because people just listen. This is my thinking. If people to read the whole document with the addendum and the record of why there is these things in there, so that there's the justification and rationale, so people could understand, because for the fact that 3 out of the 5 LABs will have to adopt these things. I think that it's primary for us, and I kind of agree with the sentiment, that we need to report on ourselves, and if this is going to be our defining constitution, if this is going to be the defining thing that everybody out here has to live with, why wouldn't we read this thing over the air and give everybody a chance to hear what we're going to be voting on? I think that's just the obvious thing that you do in that case. So, I mean, at least that one time, I think that should be a definite do.
Can I just get us back to the immediate motion? which is Carol's motion that we mandate that there be at least, and this doesn't mean that you couldn't have more, right? But at least 2 hours of programming on each of the five stations. I'm sorry, the proposal was 2 hours. Okay, the proposal that the board is addressing, if somebody on the board wants to make an amendment or suggest an amendment, they can.
Chair, I'd like to amend it to say...
The floor is that we mandate 2 hours of programming, at least 2 hours a week, on each of the five stations. David?
I'd like to amend it just to say that there'd be 2 hours of programming developed each week. In other words,
what?
That there'd
be
2 hours of core programming developed each week that would be aired however often, but that, in other words, if 2 hours of program can be a half-hour program aired four times, it would be 2 hours
of
programming developed each week.
I don't think we're laying out the details of it.
We're saying
that there'd be at least 2 hours of programming on each of the five stations.
That's the purpose of my amendment, is to lay out that much detail to say that it would be 2 hours of programming be created each week and aired at least once each week. That would be my amendment.
I'm not sure how that's different. Excuse me, folks. Can you please? I mean, this really doesn't help us. Excuse me. I'm sorry. You're totally out of order, Carol.
I think that 2 hours per week is plain and simple. I find what you're trying to clarify makes it confusing for me, so I don't want to confuse anybody. I want 2 hours a week on the air.
Now you got me confused.
Okay, I'm sorry, folks.
The amendment is rejected.
The proposal that's on the floor is that this board mandate that at each of the five stations there be a minimum of 2 hours a week of programming on the bylaws and governance issue. Punto. That is the proposal. Right? Now, yes, Rob.
Can I ask you a quick 2 hours a week from when until when?
Until further resolution of the board.
Does that answer it? No,
it doesn't.
Okay. Can we just dictate programming like that on the board? Is that something that we can do?
Yeah. I've never heard of it before.
Okay, let me just clarify something. The question was posed, can we dictate that?
Yes.
We are the holders of the licenses. Therefore, we have ultimate responsibility for what goes on over the air. Therefore, I believe it is within our legitimate authority to give direction to the stations on what should be on the air. Now, you could say dictate, or you could say it the way I just said it. You know, it's the same thing. We are saying that there's a mandate from this board. I mean, if this passes, what we would be saying is that there are a mandate to the stations that the managers and the program directors, I assume in consultation with their program councils, with whoever else, would figure out how to do 2 hours a week of programming.
Well,
now,
we have
the management team or a significant portion of
I'm
it
not
lining
done.
Up. Can we let them
well,
say
I just,
what
Leslie, I just, my only concern is rather than just, I believe we should program this on the air. I think we ought to work with station management to come up with programming and put the programming on rather than just say the programming must be X. Let's develop the programming with...
Okay, all the proposal is about the amount of time. It leaves unspoken how the program will be developed. What I would like to do, that Teresa has called question. I know there's an amendment here. I would like to... Do each of you want to speak, or is one of you going to speak for the team?
We agree in principle, and certainly with the spirit of this, but we're just concerned about the board dictating a two-hour program a week towards this. And we're just a little bit concerned about that, and we have no objection. In fact, we're all in favor of there being some sort of educational programming put on about this, and on a regular and consistent basis. But we have to take into consideration something that's going to be appropriate for the audiences, and that's basically our concern, Eva, or we're all together on this.
Okay, can we just hear from one other person?
Okay.
And otherwise, folks, it's one.
Sure. You know, you've heard one, and that's our concern. And also, the stations are really suddenly stretched. And in terms of just producing the work, you know, we just want you to leave it. We're asking you to leave it open so that we can talk to programmers and producers. We have no problem talking about this on air. That's not the issue. The issue is producing this and having...
Folks, we need to... I'm sorry to cut you off. We need to move this on. It has...